You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 24th of May. Oh, Giannis, where did you go last night? We'll talk about that. Some recap of Tony Jones and David James's interviews and your questions on a Facebook Live edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. It is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully some fun conversation that makes it more fun to be a Jazz fan and keep you through the offseason, because there is no offseason for true fans. It is Locked On Jazz. You can get it on the brand new Himalaya app. They put out another update today. It's so cool. They've got great playlists, curated playlists, different little sections. If you haven't checked out Himalaya, please do so and follow Locked On Jazz on Himalaya. Also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz. Really appreciate all the sponsors this week. Grip 6 is here for you at grip6.com/lock for your Father's Day gifts, so make sure you go grab that. Also, special thanks to hotels.com for their support this week, and Untuckit, 20% off with the promo code NBA. Today's show loaded up. Father's Day, some fun stuff taking place. So, all right, let's get to it. I really actually want to get to the question. We always run out of questions, so I want to get to questions as soon as possible. Miles, Daniel, Julio, and Julie Mendoza, Brandon, Parker, welcome. Thank you very much for tuning in. By the way, Julio and Julie share their Facebook page. Like, I've always, like, come on, really? Like, we're that bonded? You're that together? Like, your Facebook page? No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm just giving you a hard time. Kind of. I'm kind of busting you, actually. I thought last night, I brought this up on DJ and PK today. I think this is an I watched last night's game, and I really, really felt as though things that Giannis was absent in the final 7-8 minutes of that game. And for an MVP of the league to go away in that manner, in that big a game, in a game 5, to me was just a sign that he's not quite there yet. And interesting to me is I kind of wondered if this was my only one who thought this, because when you went through Twitter, he got a pass. Now, he is truly one of the absolute great dudes out there, and so he absolutely deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's had this amazing year, and everyone loves him. But I thought in the Twitter sphere last night, he just got a total and complete pass to his performance. And it's not that he didn't give it his all or anything of that sort. It's that he doesn't have the game to do it. Like, it wasn't like he had a bad night. I just don't think he has the game to do it. Right, we're 8 minutes left, 9 minutes left in the game, 9:30 left. It's a 78-76 Milwaukee lead. Final, Giannis turns it over. Lopez takes a shot. Bledsoe takes a shot. Giannis misses a layup that Siakam blocks, and then he fouls Kawhi. Lopez misses a shot. Giannis in an open court turns it over. Giannis makes an incredible block on the other side because he's great. Bledsoe gets fouled. Lopez again. Brogdon after that. Giannis makes the three at the 404 mark to make it a 92-90 game. Brogdon, Lopez. Giannis gets the alley-oop dunk, which is basically being Rudy. Bledsoe, Middleton. Middleton's pretty quiet in here, too, for a guy who wants a max contract. I hear a lot of Brogdon, a lot of Lopez, a lot of Bledsoe. That means either Toronto is forcing the other guys to make plays, or these two guys that are max, supposedly max players, are not making the plays that they need to make. So pretty interesting to me, like, just the level. Now, Kawhi is just unbelievable right now. right? 40 minutes, 35.7 rebounds, 9 assists. And it's so simple to say, well, you just have to be like, but, like, look at the contrast. 9-minute mark. Van Vliet hits a 3 off a Kawhi assist. Kawhi hits a 3. Kawhi hits a 3. Kawhi goes to the free throw line. Van Vliet misses a 3. Powell misses. Siakam dunks. Gasol misses. Kawhi misses. They struggle here. Siakam off a Kawhi offensive rebound, or off an offensive, after a, Siakam offensive misses. Gasol off a Kawhi assist gets a 3. Kawhi gets a jump shot and scores. Lowry goes to the line on a drive. And Van Vliet hits a 3 off a Kawhi assist. Kawhi misses the 3, gets his own rebound, and gets fouled. And the game, that's, you know, we're now down to 34 seconds left. Kawhi makes 1 of 2 free throws. Kawhi misses a jump shot. Gasol gets fouled on a crappy play by Lopez, and then the game's over. But everything there was Kawhi. Whereas Giannis came down the floor and just sat outside the three-point line and had nothing to do. Pretty stunning. All right. Did a little interesting work the other day on 2 years of Favors Gobert, Favors without Gobert. For over the last 2 years, when we've had Favors and Gobert on the floor, it's a plus 5.9. We've had Gobert and on the floor without Favors, it's a plus 9.2. And actually, when we've had Favors on the floor or Udo on the floor, it's the exact same. Without Gobert, it's plus 2.3. What's interesting about this is, so the Jazz per every game is about a 6.1 positive over that 2 year span with this team exactly as it is. And in that time period, we're about per game, we're about 1.7 positive with Favors and Gobert together. We're about 3.6 positive just in the game, right? Not per 100 possessions as we do everything else, just in the game. So with Gobert, we're in for the, you know, whatever, what I think I counted it as 14 minutes a night that Favors and Gobert on the floor were plus 1.7. In for the 19 minutes night, we have Gobert with a stretch on the floor. We're plus 3.6. And then for the 15 minutes a night, we have Favors on the floor without a center over the last 2 years. We're plus 0.7. Comes out to plus 6.1. If you stretch Gobert out to 33 minutes just playing with a stretch four, and frankly, our stretch fours have been an old Joe Johnson, Thabo Sefolosha, Jonas Jerebko, Jay Crowder. I didn't go to the Boris Diaw run. So it's been, right, it's been a unique group, George Niang. Only with that caliber, not necessarily the good one. Or, you know, a high level, like elite stretch four. In those 33 minutes, if you stretch Gobert out, it's plus 6.3. For the whole games, we've been plus 6.1. So if we could stretch Gobert out plus 6, we actually then for the other 15 minutes a night that Gobert's not on the floor, actually just need to be even and we'd be the same team. This honestly is a pretty strong argument to moving. Now, these numbers have some noise and they're flawed in the sense that Favors and Gobert only play starters minutes, whatever this lineup would be. But if the Jazz over 2 years with Gobert and not great stretch fours have been plus 9.2 or 6.3 if you were to give them a whole kind of 33 minutes of a game. The biggest concern about stepping away from Favors, because he's been so great and so terrific, is that you might not be as good. This leads me less concerned about that. Doesn't mean I don't think Derek's, doesn't mean that I think anything less of Derek. It means I think that Rudy is really great. And you have a third team all NBA guy. Congratulations to Rudy. Like, so you build around that. And this leads me a little bit more, like, I could make a good numerical argument. Someone might be able to poke holes in it, that this should allow you to step away from the Gobert Favors with a little more security. Now, Rudy gets hurt, you're in trouble. But if anybody other than the Warriors loses an all-NBA guy, they're in trouble. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. Hey, Murdoch Hyundai's got some amazing things going on right now. 0% APR for 72 months. And service bonus. I love this. Retired military, active military, police, fire, first responder, $1,000 off. That's going on at Murdoch Hyundai right now. I'm driving the Santa Fe. It's funny, as I have the new Santa Fe, my son has the last year's Santa Fe we bought for him. It's a third car in the family. It's not his car, of course. He's just the only one who drives it, and the license plate holder has his name on it. But it's not his car because we wouldn't give our son a new car, right? Like all that garbage. Because it has every safety feature imaginable, and I got in a car with a 16-year-old and saw what it was like, and so we got a car with every safety feature imaginable and then put him in that car, okay? So it's really, you know, my wife can drive it, whatever, you got it. It's all that parental semantics. We were like the Hyundai Caravan up last night, and it was pretty funny because then we turned into our street, and there's a person who owns two Konas on the left-hand side, and then there was a Tucson on the right-hand side, and then we drove up and we crossed another. I was like, it's a Hyundai convention. It's people who figured out that you get more for your dollar when you buy with Hyundai. 4646 South State Street in Murdoch. Jason Creech is there, does great job. Blake is down in the Linden store, up in Logan as well for you. 0% APR for 72 months. That is a big, big deal right now for you. Check that out at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Also, big, huge thanks to our friends at Grip6.com for their support this week. Grip6.com/lock to get your special Father's Day deal. It's the only belt that I'm wearing. All right, let's get to your questions. Morning to a lot of people who said hi. I like that. Do you think Rudy can become a 20-point-a-game scorer at any point in his career? I think that's unlikely. I do think so. If you look at Rudy, that's from Kyle Finneman. So if you take a second and look at Rudy, what I do think is interesting in regards to Rudy is what a poor shooter he is from either 3 feet out or 5 to 10 feet out, whichever way you want to look at it. So Rudy from 5 to 9 feet last year was 30 of 40 for 32%. Now, I think that's probably the wrong. In the paint, non-restricted, he took 75 shots. He shot 35%. And then I don't really want Rudy taking long twos, and I don't really think I need Rudy shooting threes. But if Rudy could take the next step, which is that when he rolls to the basket on the pick and roll and someone gets underneath him, and particularly if it's a lower smaller player, and he can't get all the way to the rim, that he then has a base and a move he's comfortable with that allows him to finish. Now, I know the easy, he should finish 50% of those. Okay, Jokic finishes 50% of those. So I don't think Rudy should be at 50%. But from 3 to 10 feet last year, he was at 34% on 126 shots. Okay, I think it's fair to say that Rudy could take that up to 160 shots. Easily, right? Two a game if we felt more comfortable. And maybe if we really felt more comfortable, three of them. And if he could get that to 45%, okay, that's a good number, by the way. But if he could get that to 45% from the 34% he was, he's big enough, he's long enough, I don't think that's a crazy number. So he suddenly goes 72 of 160 instead of 43 of 126. He's now taking two of those a game. He's making them at 45%. And in turn, he makes an extra 30 field goals a season. So he's averaging, an extra 1.5 points, 1 point a game about. If it was 40, it'd be exactly one. Then he gets to 18. He gets to about 16, 17 points a game. And I think actually if he got that good at that, we'd go to a little more. He gets to 17, 18. But I don't know how he would become a 20-point-a-game scorer. And I think the league is going to adapt to the way Milwaukee plays defense a little bit, making it harder and harder for Rudy to get at the rim. He set the dunk record last year. I don't think he'll be able to do that this next year. And so I think he's going to have to learn that. I hope that's the item he and Alex Jensen are working the most on this offseason. Rudy will tell you you know, that he is 75% at the rim and the best finisher in the league. He's got to take that from 3 to 10 feet. I don't need him to be 10 to 16 feet. I don't need him to be 16 to 3 feet. And I certainly don't need him to be Brook Lopez, because his value is that roll to the rim. But, I mean, if you just look at a layup, so Rudy had 315 dunks this year. According to Basketball Reference, Rudy was 156 of 316 on layups, 49% on layups. That number could come up, right? A comparable big guy, you know, could get that number up in his layups. And if his layups can go to 55 or 60%, that's where it is. Joel Embiid is 59% on layups. Okay, Rudy should be able to be 59% on layups. And that would give him, you know, an extra 2 or 3 points a game. You really like Tobias, but I think you said that you don't like Donovan at the point in that scenario that we give Tobias the money. What do we do at point guard? Braxton Strong with the strong question of the day. What do we do at point guard? I don't know. We've used all of our money for Tobias Harris, and we don't have a lot left. I don't know what we do at point guard. Do we use one of our exceptions and see if you can go get a Thomas Satoransky? Do you go see if you can go get a Tyus Jones? Do you go see if Elfrid Payton's available and they have another non-shooter there? Or do you have Donovan learn how to play point guard? Or do you play bouncing, moving the ball, and you're starting Donovan, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, and Tobias Harris, and Tobias Harris and Joe Ingles and Donovan are all playing interchangeably? Fair question. But I think Tobias can play with the ball in his hands a lot. So I think that's a thought. What are your thoughts about D'Angelo Russell to Utah from Dustin? So I think D'Angelo Russell had a great year. I thought his highlights were amazing. His growth is great. He obviously improved a super amount. And I am very analytically based. And analytically, he's got guts and gumption and all those kind of things. And he puts up a lot of points. He is a player that, for me as an analytics guy, is really hard to grasp. Here's why. Now, let me clarify something. He's 22, and he's just made a mammoth jump. So there's a lot of room here, but he's 98th percentile in usage, so he's using a ton of possessions, 35%. His points per scoring opportunity is 53rd percentile. It's okay, and his assist percentile is great. What's disconcerting about him is he only takes 17% of his shots at the rim. He's in the 13th percentile of all players at his position in how often they go to the rim. He takes a huge amount of mid-range shots, which in this last year he was pretty good at, actually. He hit 46% of them, and that helped. But he doesn't get to the rim very much. In turn, he's in the 8th percentile of positions in foul drawing. So the two singular most efficient things you can do as a player, get to the rim and draw fouls. He's in the 13th percentile and the 8th percentile of shooting fouls drawn. He just doesn't do those things very often. I think he's a negative pack player or negative points gain player. And in that model by which he's playing, it becomes incredibly difficult for him to become a positive points gain player. Donovan has some similarities here, frankly. Their efficiency levels are, and their age is very similar. Donovan is a negative 1 points game player, and Russell's a negative 1.1 points game player. But when you dig in to Donovan, there are scripts here by which you can say, all right, he could probably get better. Donovan who is at the 55th percentile for his position in his points per scoring attempt, instead of being in the 13th percentile in rim attempts, is right at league average. And instead of being in the bottom of the league in shooting fouls drawn, is near the mid, is a little bit above average at the 58th percentile. Donovan's issue is the amount of short mid-range floater shots he's taking. He's taking nearly 30% of his shots at that, making 36% of them, which is not enough. So he's in the 93rd percentile of all shots in that range for his position, and in the 36th in makes, thanks to cleaning the glass. There's not another guard in the league who actually has Donovan's shot distribution that's effective. And so Donovan, I think, just has to alter how he takes his shots and where, and move some of those more to the rim or back to threes. Whereas D'Angelo Russell has fundamentally a shooting chart that leads to not being an efficient player. And so that's my concern on D'Angelo Russell. But he had a great, great year. What do you think Royce O'Neal's ceiling is? Not a great deal more than what it is. Some players are just really good NBA players. Donovan has these projections that are kind of crazy and great, but like Royce O'Neal could just be a really good NBA, 10-year NBA veteran who's a nice player on a team. Like, I don't know. Everyone's ceiling doesn't have to be like Royce went from 23 minutes to 27 minutes a night. Like, that's in the those are playoff numbers. Like, I think that's a big jump. He went from 16 to 20 minutes a night. I think he's going to 25 or 28 minutes a night. I think he's a 28 minute a night player who could start on a team that uses him correctly. He could defend. Like, I like him next to Donovan. Like, I always talk about Reggie Bullock next to Donovan. Knockdown shooter, big enough to defend. Now, both of them are very similar. I'm not sure that Royce is the same knockdown shooter, but he got to 39% this year. He hasn't had 753s yet to be his number. And I think, he lacks a little lateral speed out on the perimeter, so is Reggie Bullock. But Royce O'Neal's a player that actually matches a little bit next to Donovan if you're putting the ball in Donovan's hands as Donovan learns how to play point guard. Lock, my dream offseason would include Jimmy Butler, Pat Beverly at the point. Change my mind. Well, since you share your Facebook account with your wife, just kidding. That's kind of a joke from earlier in the show. I'm not sure I love Jimmy Butler. There's been chaos everywhere he's been at every moment in his basketball career and actually, frankly, in his life. I think he has like a zoo factor. I think there's just a lot of animals running around and there's kind of chaos around all the time with him. And so I'm not sure I love Jimmy Butler in that regards for chaos. I'm certainly not sure I love Jimmy Butler molding my young Donovan Mitchell. Patrick Beverly brings a level of toughness and makes some shots. And he is really small, but he is tough and has a value in this league that's good. You got to like somebody, right? Like, I have a tendency to find what's wrong with everyone. You got to like someone. There's a lot to like on Patrick Beverly. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homey. The real estate world is changing because of these guys. Homey is changing where the real estate world is going, how it is happening, and why it is happening. And what they have done is instead of just taking the 6% real estate commission that everyone gets, that's just not going to be the model anymore. We're just going to change the way it works. And so what does that mean? Now you pay a set fee at $1,500 and Homey lists and posts your house. Instead of one agent, you got a team of Homey agents, Homey crew working for you. And Homey is selling houses faster than the market value right now. And Homey is getting more than the market average for each of their listings. So find out more about Homey at 8 by texting LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588. LOCK to 88588. You can save a significant amount of equity in your house sale when you use Homey. And there's no reason to be giving away extra percentage because you did the upgrade in your house, because you live in the right neighborhood, because you have done the right things and you're hitting the market at the right time. You should get that equity. You should be rewarded. And that's Homey's model. Text LOCK, LOCKE, to 88588 to find out what Homey can do for you. I would love to get Conley and Tobias. Can we afford them both? Also, I'd like to keep Favors. Okay. Like, right. And, I mean, I would like whatever. Daniel, that's kind of absurd. Like, that's where, and then you go kill the front office for not doing enough. Like, it's a salary cap league. There's a set value on things. I actually can't figure out the Mike Conley trade right now, by the way. I mean, I guess the Mike Conley trade is that they have to want Derek Favors, and you're re-signing Favors and trading him to them. But they have Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr., so I am not sure why they want Derek Favors. And I have yet to figure out how we're coming up with $30 million of money to go get Mike Conley. I hear a lot of people talking about, well, we'll probably revisit the Mike Conley deal. I'm maybe missing something, but Mike Conley's at $30 million with 2 years left on his deal. We'd have to get to $30 million of salary. So, and they'd have to want something. Like, we'd have to give them something they want. So, if it's not Favors, then, and it's Joe Ingles? If it's not Favors and it's not Joe Ingles, like, I think you have to do Dante Exum, Kyle Korver, and then I guess Korver would probably retire or do whatever he wants, but get released again and go through that. And Dante? But that trade didn't actually work. That wasn't actually enough money. That was $23 million, so I have to adjust that trade again. Like, I can't do it, guys. Grayson Allen? Like, I can't do it. Without Favors, if you're not including Joe Ingles, and unless they want Favors, I don't know how you're getting $30 million to get to Mike Conley anymore. I'm not trying to be like we're not, you don't want to trade Royce O'Neal's $1.3 million contract, particularly if he might start for you next year. Tabo's a free agent. You can't move him. You actually really can't trade Kyle until you pick up his option for the year, because now he's non-guaranteed money, or he's only worth $3 million. Jay, I guess they could decide they want Jay as a backup four. And then, I mean, if I throw 20, I've now got five guys into the trade, and it's still failing. So I keep hearing people saying the Jazz are revisiting the Mike Conley deal. I might be missing it. I don't see it. Because I don't see the deal. The deal was when we had $30 million of salaries that were expiring, you could go do that. But we don't have, those aren't contracts we have anymore. Favors has to be a part of it. They have to want Favors. With Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr., I'm not sure why they want Favors. I could be wrong. Tony says the Jazz have a good chance of signing a good player because not many teams have money. I see it differently. There are too many shots at good players, especially in the big markets. There's a lot of money out there this year. We're going to have to pay more than other people are willing to, and that might be the number. That's how we get it. There's the point guard roulette. I have that sheet over here somewhere. I mean, the Kemba one gets interesting. If Kyrie goes to the Knicks, or let's say Kyrie doesn't go to the Knicks, Kyrie goes to the Lakers or something, then Brooklyn's got a decision of what they're going to do. And as Tony talked about, you could go after Spencer Dinwiddie after if they went to Kemba. Celtics go to Rozier. The Pacers have a point guard. Orlando's looking for a point guard. Miami's looking for a point guard. Chicago's looking for a point guard. Don't know what the Clippers are doing. But they're probably trying. Now that, you know, Sam Amick and I talked about this a while back on Locked On NBA. They're signing, you know, the latest is Durant and Kawhi together. Suns need a point guard and the Hornets. So if the Hornets don't sign Kemba to the Supermax, he's now out on the market. And I think it becomes a Brooklyn, Utah, Indiana, Orlando, Miami. Like, that's hard. So our market, you have to be off. We're offering the same money. It's hard for us to go get those guys because we're offering the same money as everybody else. It's likely that Rudy eventually develops a reliable jump shot at some point in his career, and do you think we need that to happen to feel comfortable offering him the Supermax? I don't want Rudy shooting a jump shot. What 7-footer is taking 15-foot jump shots that's a good idea in the NBA right now? Like, I want Rudy to establish 5 feet with some, and layups with some level, but not a jump shot. Jump shot's easy, dude. What I want is hard. Why do we criticize Giannis for not showing up but offer Gobert the Supermax when he hasn't near that level offensively? Is this the same guy? No, this is the guy that wants Conley, Tobias, and Favors all at once, and then wants to know why we're not offering, and wants to know if we can keep Rubio as a Supermax. Daniel Olson, I want to live in your world, man. That would be awesome. We cannot keep Rubio as a backup. He would not want to come back as a backup. I'm criticizing Giannis as a MVP candidate when the final 9 minutes of the game was a non-factor. And whether you sign Gobert to the Supermax or whether you criticize Giannis is a false parallel. Chris, what is your opinion on why Drake acted the last Raptors home game? Should he be allowed to roam the sidelines? No. Just because you're a rap star or whatever music star or pop star does not mean that your rules as a fan are different than any others, or that you're a team ambassador. You should not be touching your own head coach. If we allowed the Qualtrics guy to suddenly like be giving Quinn like we can't be doing that. No, I thought he was totally out of line. I don't know if Kemba's going to get the Supermax from Charlotte. I'm starting to think that trading for Dinwiddie and going after Harris is our best plan. Thoughts? So how do you do both of those things? Would be my question. You probably have thought it out. I have not. All right. So basically, Kemba's signing in Brooklyn. Brooklyn needs to move Spencer Dinwiddie at that point. But they would want to do it for money, I would think. Spencer Dinwiddie's new deal is 12 a year? What's Spencer Dinwiddie's new contract? 3-year extension at $34 million. It's a good deal. So you're trading I don't know how you're doing that. You're probably, so you're not signing Favors and you're trading like Joe Ingles for Spencer Dinwiddie? Is that what you're doing? How are you getting $11 million for Spencer Dinwiddie that gives Brooklyn something that they want? Would be my question. Daniel Olson's back. He wants to know what you can do for game night giveaway. Game night giveaway got banned. Having your first baby daughter this month, that is awesome. The game note giveaway got banned. Got eliminated. Does points gained indicate just how much better the Warriors are than everyone else? Did it predict the NBA playoff outcomes? Oh, I didn't do it in that sense. It predicted Milwaukee at the beginning of the season and Toronto at the beginning of the season as the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. So it did that very, very well, and it had the Warriors ahead of everyone else. It had Houston fading. It actually had a pretty good year in predictions. Yeah, I mean, it has the Warriors with Durant. It's ridiculous. I love Rudy, and I know he's great on defense, but do we really offer him a Supermax without having some type of jump shot or maybe softer hands to handle passes? I think so. Like, and by the way, I think he gets Supermax for being Defensive Player of the Year, too, by the way. I don't think this was a new thing that he suddenly became Supermax eligible the other day by being third-team All-NBA. I think he actually already was Supermax eligible in his next deal by being Defensive Player of the Year. I might be wrong. Daniel Olson, you are busy today. You are all over it. Ryan Johnson, could the Jazz take on Gallo's big contract and get an asset out of it if the Clippers get desperate enough to open up two max slots? That is a good question. So there's two things on that. One is that you have to be Gallo's at $21 million. It's not that huge a contract. You have to be a little willing to accept that Gallo can be healthy. But the model there, by the way, is you have to let Favors go, open up $21 million of cap space, and then you take Gallo into the cap space with a pick to open that up so that the Clippers can become great. Right? Like, that's, we did that once with the Warriors. We opened up the Iguodala cap space for them so we could get two picks, which turned out to be Tony Bradley and Rodney Hood, and they got Iguodala and became a monster. Like, I still think it was probably the right deal at the right time, but, like, understanding that what you're doing there is you're allowing the Clippers to become a monster. Will Neto be back? I think we'd love to have Neto back. The timing is not great on that guaranteed contract. If we were to land Tobias, what point guards would be available at the price we could hit? We talked about that earlier in the program. Is it less likely the Jazz go after a restricted free agent because of the time it takes and the risk of letting other unrestricted free agents sign elsewhere? And also, to go after the restricted free agent, depending on how much money you're offering, forces you to make a decision on your other players in that time period that have their contracts come up. Yeah, a restricted free agent is hard. Would you prefer a cheaper solution at point guard that leaves room to sign some kind of stretch four and would be a bigger name than like what Kemba does? Yeah, I mean, Kemba's interesting. You go sign Kemba. I don't know what you're doing for your stretch four. Right? Because Favors is now gone. You're trying to sign Robin Lopez for probably $1 million or $2 million or something as your backup center, maybe Dwayne Dedman. And then you're trying to go find a Marcus Morris, Jamichael Green, or someone like that on the cheap with one of your exceptions. It's really a very different, very, very different team. And our final one of the night, Corey Green checks in. Here's our point guard resolution. If Kyle Korver comes back and if the Jazz took a leap to offer Deron Williams a two-year deal, then Deron Williams could be our point guard. And I'll leave you with that thought for the weekend. Have a great one. Enjoy Memorial Day. Talk to you soon. Thanks very much for tuning in. Grip6.com/lock. Untuck It is available for you with a great deal at NBA with a promo code NBA for 20% off. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.